speech is written. He said, first, the reader will understand these are not dreams. Even if Robinson says it, he says, I dreamed nothing but written pages, written book, again and again. They'll know better. We got other characters you can discuss this with. No, I guess we don't. He's pretty much isolated. But we'll think of something. One thing is, no matter what changes occur in him, in his activity, like he senses a different person, he never finds himself doing anything that he would object to morally. He just does things that are inscrutable to him. He can't see the purpose of them. And I can't see the purpose of any of this. But he senses that it's purposeful, and he has clues that it's not psychological, like the graphics. 800 million pictures by Paul Klee and Picasso and Kandinsky, and they couldn't emanate from his own head. They can't be homeopsychic. They must hetero, whatever they were. Hetero. Well, it can't be homeopsychic. That is emanating from within his own mind. It must be hetero, coming from outside his mind. He could develop interesting lurid theories. After all, he's a writer. He could write these different ideas up, even that it's like the orbiting slave teaching machine that he's somehow triggered off, and he tries to figure out how he triggered it off and when it goes by, and he'd try out all these different bizarre exotic theories. But there are, you know, approximations evolving towards correctness. Except, what is correctness? It's almost definable by negative. See, it is not that, or it is more than that. One thing is, he's aware that the writing is an agency of something else. Of course, the best description is the Book of John. But he's never willing to apply the old theological terms. It's obvious, he thinks very clearly, well, there hasn't been any sacred text in 2,000 years. And Jesus, the world is sadly in need. He never knows. He's part of a great organization. He senses, he analogizes. If it's happened to me, it must have happened to other people. Well, if it's happened to other people, why didn't say anything about it? I mean, he says, I could walk out and say something about it. And he says, nobody would believe me. But then he remembers what the Bible says, about this, when the second paraclete comes, Holy Spirit, the world will receive it not. The world is in darkness, the seas of light won't receive it. He realizes, that's why. There's no use telling anybody. Nobody would believe him. You want that? It's not that I think he's nuts. He just won't. He could just stand there and say it, and they won't pay attention. He could say it to anybody. He got to come to the Nazis and say it. He said, God is talking to me. Because he's not even hallucinating. Can't even qualify for being crazy. It just isn't real. I mean, they just, kind of smile. Well, don't even do that. They're just kind of walking past you. But he figures, I bet this has happened to other people. And part of the information, when this happens, part of the experience consists in realizing there's not much point in telling anybody. I mean, that's part of it, It's like, I think it says, burn before reading. The desire to tell kind of goes away. I mean, first thing, I have now had an experience, he thinks. It proves the existence of a higher life form somewhere in the universe, evidently here. At least its messenger is here, its logos, its intermediary, its informational printout system is here. And I can describe it. It's benign. You can see all four dimensions spatially. It's interested in helping us. It's probably been helping us since they wrote the I Ching 3,000 years ago.